We're going to begin our reading at verse 23, keeping in mind that this is a continuous message by Jesus. In fact, it started back in chapter 13. It has changed physical locations, but it's the same message as the Lord continues. At verse 23, it says, literally, he that hateth is literally the one hating me. Hating is a participle. It's called a substantive participle. It describes the continuous condition of a person. The one hating me is hating my Father also. Factual statement. You cannot separate the Son from the Father. If I did not do among them the works which no one other had done, they would not have had sin. But now they have both seen and have hated both me and my Father. But in order that the word might be fulfilled, which has been written in their law, that they hated me without a cause. Psalm 69:4. But whenever, notice the English text says when, but it's whenever. Whenever the Comforter should come, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth or is going out from the Father, he shall testify concerning me. And notice the verb tense in verse 27, very important. In the English text it says, and you also shall bear witness. Shall means future, but it's actually present tense. You also are testifying because you are with me from the beginning. Interesting text. In chapter 15, the Lord has been ministering to the disciples actually about three things. Number one, he says that he is the vine and they are the branches. And just as a branch is not able to bear fruit from itself, so he says you are not able to bear fruit unless you abide in me. So, depending on the relationship of the branch to the vine will depend upon whether the branch bears fruit. Because Jesus said, the one who is abiding in me is bearing fruit. Not should, but is. Factual statement. Not if the branch is attached, but abides. That is, internally. There's an internal connection between the branch and the trunk of the tree or the stalk of the vine. So that the very life of the vine runs into the branch, and that's what produces fruit. The branch cannot produce fruit from itself. I can't bear fruit. Because I abide in him and he abides in me, he bears fruit by his Spirit, because it is the life of the Spirit of Christ that flows from God to me. So he says, those who abide in him, they are bearing fruit. The purpose? So that the Father might be glorified. But then he says about two things. He says, I'm telling you these things in order that you should love one another. Verse 17. Verse 17 actually finishes off one section and verse 18 starts another. Even though we're on verse 23 today, we're finishing out a complete section. He first talked to them about the love that is amongst the brethren. Not should be, it is. Because Christ is in our midst, we have been rooted and grounded in love. We've been studying that Monday night in our Greek class. It doesn't say we should be grounded, it's perfect tense, we have been grounded, or the aorist tense, we were grounded in the past. We've been established and joined together in the love of Christ. Our command is to keep the unity, not create it, but keep it. We're already one in Christ. But it's Satan in our midst who is trying to disturb the unity. We dwell in the love of Christ. It isn't human. Wherever the Spirit of Christ is, there is love. Because God is love, and love comes from God as the source, not people. The type of agape love, spiritual agape, that the Bible is talking about. It comes from God, and not from people. So he says, as you fellowship together, as the branches in the vine, I'm commanding these things to you about abiding in the vine in order that you might love one another. That's not a command. It shows the purpose. But then in verse 18, he starts a completely different section. Now he talks about the relationship with the world. There is no love relationship with the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The only love relationship that we have with the world is the love of Christ that we have in our midst together. And that love of Christ proclaims God's love in the person of Jesus Christ. But other than that, there is no love relationship between the believer and the world. None. The love is only amongst the brethren. Only amongst the family of God. In verse 18, Jesus showed the contrast. He says, if the world is hating you, or will hate you, know that it hated me before you. That's back at verse 18. So he opens up the contrast. In fact, the first clause that says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before you. The first clause, starting with if, states a reality, states a fact. Since the world is hating you, there's something that you need to know in order to handle this particular situation, is that it hated me before it hated you. When Jesus used the word to talk about himself, the world has hated me before you, it's a perfect tense, which means the hatred started in the past and it continues today. And you've entered in not into the love of the world, but the hatred of the world. And it's not because the world hates us personally, but it hates Christ. He says in verse 19, if you were of the world would be loving its own. That's the word phileo. But because you are not from out of the world, but I have chosen you from out of the world, on account of this, the world is hating you. Factual. Not should hate or might hate. The world is hating you. Now it's important that we understand that from these teachings of Jesus comes the teachings of James and John. James said in James chapter 4, verse 4, he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that to make a friend of the world is to become an enemy of God? Therefore, do not make friends with the world. The world and its system is under the authority and the influence of the prince and power of the air, Satan himself. He is anti-Christ. Everything in the world system is anti-Christ. It's the enemy of God. So therefore, James says, you're committing spiritual adultery by making yourself friends with the world, because the world is hostile against God. It's its enemy. Now, John says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, love not the world, and interesting, it's the word agape. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If anybody should love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, how does agape fit in that sentence? Remember, agape is when it's applied spiritually between us and the Lord, or us to each other, it's being concerned about someone's spiritual welfare. Sacrificially. To love the world means to care so much about the things of the world, you're willing to sacrifice your life to get it. Sound familiar? That's what the world dictates. You have to give up your life, your time, your money, in order to get what the world has to offer. So James says, to make friends with the world is to be, make yourself the enemy of God. John says, do not love the world. It's a command. Neither the things in it, because you cannot love the world, you cannot have agape for the world and agape for God at the same time. We are all sacrificing our life for something. If you follow Christ, it's going to take sacrifice. If you want to pursue a career that the Lord's not leading you in, if it's just something you want, you've got to sacrifice. You want to buy something, you have to sacrifice. Everything takes sacrifice. So it's not a matter of saying, I don't want to follow the Lord because I have to give up everything. You have to give up everything anyway. Anything that you do. If you're going to pursue it, you have to sacrifice yourself. But Jesus said, the love that you experience amongst the brethren, you're not going to experience in the world. Because the world system hates Jesus. And he says, but if you are of the world will love its own. So what can I expect? Here's a gauge that I have used over the years, but it was interesting. It came from a newspaper article to begin with. The newspaper article says, how to use people's criticism for your advantage. We're all sensitive. We don't like people to reject us. We don't like people to be critical. But this article says, you know, you could use it to your advantage. I mean, if you respect the person who's being critical, then maybe they see something that you need to take into consideration. But if that person is considered to be off the wall about everything, then if they criticize you and disagree with you, then you know you're doing right. So what everybody says and everybody does can be used in a constructive way, even though they might mean it in a destructive way. The same gauge is true spiritually. If the world and its system and the people of the world love me, there's something wrong. Again, the word is phileo, friendship. And the people of the world are constantly making connections with other people in the world. And when they come across somebody who's in the world, but not of the world, not of the same system, they have a reaction. I can't party with you. I can't do the things that I do in the world with you because you live a different lifestyle. You're here for a different purpose. Especially when I come across people, if I'm sacrificing myself to experience the things of the world and I come across people who are sacrificing themselves for Christ, giving up everything for Christ. That's weird. You know? That's fanatic. Of course, everybody's a fanatic. Everybody sacrifices for whatever they want. But to give up the only life that you have for Christ, that's crazy to the world. In verse 20, he says, remember the word which I spoke to you. A servant or slave is not greater than his Lord. He spoke that back in John chapter 13, verse 16, after he had washed the disciples' feet. He says, if I've done this to you, what ought you to be doing for one another? I'm the Lord and I'm serving you. So Jesus says, remember the word that I spoke to you. The servant or slave is not greater than his Lord. Then he gives two parallels. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Hatred and persecution. Secondly, if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. If we line up with the word of God and present the truth of the word, if they reject it, they have not rejected us, they've rejected Christ and his word. See, but we take it personal. What can we expect? Jesus said, here's what you can expect. Hatred, persecution, rejection of the way and the truth that you follow. But he says in verse 21 and 22 in summary, but they do all of these things, first of all, on account of my name. It's doing things based on Jesus Christ. It's the name that people reject. Because, and they do this because they did not know the one who has sent. You see the chain of connection? My connection is with Jesus Christ and his connection is with the Father. You cannot separate the Father from Jesus. You cannot reject Jesus and say, I believe in God. If you reject the one who has sent Jesus, or reject Jesus but believe in God, you've actually rejected the one who sent Jesus by rejecting Jesus himself. Because they're one. And then Jesus says, if you're one with me, as the world treated me, they're going to treat you. There will be hatred, persecution, and rejection. Jesus said, if I did not come and if I did not speak to them these things, they would not have sin. But now they have no cloak or pretense or pretext for their concerning their sin. So when Jesus came and he spoke the word, and it wasn't with judgment, when he spoke the word, it uncovered and revealed sin. The hatred was because of sin. Not because they didn't like Jesus. I mean, he was a good man. He did good for people. But the words that he spoke brought conviction and pulled the cover off of sin. And so now he's connecting sin with hatred. And the word reveals sin. In verse 23, Jesus says, the one hating me also is hating my Father. See, you cannot separate the two. If you hate Jesus, you automatically hate the Father. Jesus said in chapter 14, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Chapter 10, verse 31, he says, I and the Father are one. You can't separate us. You can't receive one and reject the other. Jesus said, if they are hating me, they are hating my Father also. Verses 24 and 25, again he establishes, he goes into more detail about sin, the relationship between hatred and sin. He said, if I did not do the works amongst them, which no other one has done, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and have hated both me and my Father. They've seen. And they have hated. Again, perfect tense. Showing that it began at a time in the past and continues to the present. And the Lord is saying, look what you can expect. Because when you identify with my name, when you follow my word, when you sacrifice yourself to follow me, you're going to get the same response and the same reaction as I got, because they are not responding to you, they are responding to me. Even the most prominent, most religious people amongst the Jews, they hated Jesus. Because his word of love revealed sin. He says, they hated me. They would not have had sin had I not come and done the things that I did. So there's a problem. And by the way, this is going to continue, because in chapter 16, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. So if the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of me, he's going to be doing that through me as a testimony. So he's telling them, the love is amongst the brethren, not in the world. You're not going to find love in the world. Not the kind of love that God has. When you go out in the world, it'll be hatred and persecution and rejection. Because following Christ brings conviction of sin. Following the truth brings conviction of sin. And that's why we're sensitive to that and we try to compromise, because we don't want people to feel uncomfortable. But basically the barometer is this. I told about that newspaper article. You can use criticism for your advantage. It can either be a help to somebody else see something about us that we don't see, or take it for what it's worth. Who's it coming from? It is important to me that the people who reject Jesus Christ, it's important to me that they reject me. They don't agree with me. It's important to me that those who are followers of Jesus Christ and have a heart for the Lord and that are seeking the truth in Christ just as I am, it is important to me that they are at one with me and I am at one with them. If there are people that I respect in the Lord, and they come to me and they say, I noticed something. See, I take note of that. If they have a testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, I take note of what they have to say. If they're not, I also take note of what they have to say. It's important to me that there are certain people that disagree with the Word of God, because they've rejected it. They've rejected Christ. They might even be religious. But if they've rejected the truth of the gospel, that's important to me. Verse 25 says that all of this has happened because of Scripture, but in order that the word which has been written might be fulfilled, the word that has been written in their law, from Psalm 69:4. That they hated me without a cause. The term without a cause is the Greek word dorian, which is the word for gift. It means to give something to somebody for no reason, just because you want to. So when it's used with hatred, they hated me as a gift. There's no reason for it. That's their gift to me, Jesus is saying. They hated me for no reason. They had no reason to hate me. And so that scripture that's in their law was fulfilled. So we can expect what the world has to give to us. Because of Jesus, and because it was already told to us in his word. But verses 26 and 27, the testimony of God's Spirit, which is supposed to be an encouragement. But whenever the Comforter should come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth or comes out from the Father, that one, English text says he, but it's literally a demonstrative pronoun, that one, the Comforter, will testify concerning me. Now, a couple of things. Look at the agents from which the Holy Spirit will be sent. Jesus said, I will send him to you from the Father. It's both from Jesus and the Father. Jesus sends him, and he's being sent from the Father. Secondly, notice the continuity between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And the continuity between God's Spirit and Jesus, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. the same. Same truth. When the Holy Spirit testifies, He will testify concerning Jesus, who is the truth. This Holy Spirit, this Comforter, who is going out from the Father, remember Jesus is sending Him out from the Father, He says, that one will testify concerning Me. One of the greatest statements in the Bible. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to testify about Himself. The Holy Spirit testifies concerning Jesus. That's what He's coming for. That's what He has come for, is to draw attention to Jesus Christ, not Himself. So I feel uneasy when people want to focus and question me about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit, but when all the attention is focused on experiencing the Spirit, well, what about Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit's going to draw us to Christ, not Himself. But it says in verse 27, and you also are testifying because you are with Me from the beginning. He doesn't talk about future generations of witnesses. This is why I said the first hour. The reason why God put everything into a book as we know it, or a scroll, or various scrolls, as it was known back then, and as the early church canonized the scriptures, put the scriptures together, and threw out the books that were not inspired, and kept the books that were. You see, the first original witnesses to Christ, who were with Him from the beginning, are gone. Their physical presence is gone. The testimony and ministry of His Spirit through the Word is here, but they are not here. Paul is not here, John is not here, Peter is not here in order to testify to us as to whether what's going on is the truth or not. And there's a lot of things that go on that's not found in the Word. So is it the Lord or not? We don't know. So the Lord's given us a finished testimony. But that testimony is based upon people who were with Jesus from the beginning of His ministry. And they are witnesses even today. They're witnesses. Because they are with Jesus as Jesus was speaking to them. He says, you are with Me. From the beginning. So, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will testify concerning the Lord within and from and through the original witnesses, the original disciples. So we have the testimony of Jesus who presents God to us, and then we have the testimony of the early apostles and prophets that testify to us concerning the Word of Jesus. All the way from the beginning of the Lord's public ministry, around 30 AD or 29 AD, all the way up to the book of Revelation in 95 AD. And that's when God says, that's it. The final apostle is about to die. No more prophecies, no more after this. You've got it all. From beginning to end. From the beginning of creation to the end of the world, you've got what I want you to know. So it's important that as the Lord was talking to the original disciples and the early apostles, He says, the world will hate you. Now you might say, okay, let's be more technical because He told them that. He didn't tell us. But you see, if I handle the Word of God, I'm handling their testimony. The reaction won't be against me, it'll be against their testimony of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ Himself, and the Father who sent Him. It's all in a row. See, there are three things being testified to here in the Word of God. The Father, the Son, and the early disciples. You can't separate any of those three. It's all one. That's what Jesus is telling them. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep your word. Now, he's not telling me that. He's not telling me that if I get up and say, okay, here's the word of God, now you got to keep it, and if you don't, you don't believe in Jesus. It's their word. The word that Jesus gave to them. They've been with him from the beginning. John said in 1 John chapter 1 that they handled and tasted and were right there with the word of God. They heard it, they saw it, they felt it. He's in human form. Eyewitnesses through whom the Holy Spirit would testify. Now, does the Holy Spirit use us? Yes, we're witnesses too. But not separate from the Word of God and Jesus and the Father. As we obey God's Word, the same truth that they witnessed to and ministered, that they received hatred and persecution, we will experience the same thing. But not just because we're Christians, but it's because of God's Word, and we're responding faithfully to God's witnesses, and the Lord's witness and testimony, and to the Father who sent him. It's all one. So it is interesting that Jesus would tell the disciples that love is amongst the believers. Outside of the believing community is hatred in the world. So as I step out into the world to do my business and to conduct myself, it is a system that is hostile to the truth of Christ. I can expect it. I'm not to make friends with the world, because then I'm establishing myself as opposing God. That can't happen. How can I join something that opposes God and yet believe in him at the same time? Can't happen. It's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a problem. What to expect? As we continue on with John chapter 16 for next time, more of what to expect from the world, but also more of what to expect by the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us, that gives us the power and the strength and the guidance, but it comes from within, not from outside in the world.